From pinball to online poker and years of video games along the way, there's been fear about the impact these games have had on American kids.
From addiction to moral corruption, our guest says those fears have led to a series of game panics and alarmed parents, and in some cases led to games being banned or restricted. Jesse Walker joins us now. He's a books editor at Reason Magazine and Reason.com. His piece, A Short History of Game Panics, is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. He's also the author of The United States of Paranoia, which he joined us a while back to talk about. Jesse, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, your story about video games actually starts before video games in the early days of pinball. What were people worried about in the pinball parlors?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I was sort of getting at there is that, you know, before there were video arcades, there still were the classic penny arcades, you know, and a lot of the anxieties that people had about video arcades, video game arcades, when they came along, had been around for, you know, going back to the beginning of the 20th century.
And we're losing Jesse's phone line there. It sounded kind of bad. We'll try to make a connection with him. In the meantime, you can head over to the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know, were you a pinball fan? Are you a video game fan? Maybe in the absence of the guest, we'll ask you to call in and tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Did you ever get banned from playing video games on your consoles, your computer, at the video arcade? 800-642-1234.
Curious about what your experiences are. There have always been fears with new technology and new games. Come fears that it's going to corrupt youth. They will spend all their time doing this. They will not do their schoolwork. And you know, maybe sometimes there are psychiatric problems that are bundled into that paranoia. And all around games, we're curious about why that is. Did you ever get really into a game, maybe scared yourself a little, or do you think it's just fun to get into games, and that's sort of the whole point, and then we can take care of it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call.
And there have always been worries, too, about violence, especially in the age of video games. 800-642-1234. Do you see a link between video game use, video game consumption, and violence among kids? As we try to get our guest back, Jesse Walker with Reason Magazine, asking for your input on the topic we were going to talk about. Is there a downside to video games, video game addiction? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And actually, somebody had posted on the Central Time Facebook page, don't forget about Dungeons & Dragons and fears about that. And our guest actually referenced the movie Mazes and Monsters with Tom Hanks that was part of that concern about corruption, Dungeons & Dragons. We've got Jesse Walker back with us now. Jesse, hi.
Hi, how far did I get before we got cut off before?
You're starting to talk about pinball machines. Let's pick up at what were people worried that pinball machines would do to youth in particular, and video game arcades for that matter?
Well, I mean, with pinball specifically, people were concerned about gambling. I mean, they were used as gambling devices, especially the early models didn't have flippers, although a lot of them, it wasn't a pure game of chance. You could still jostle and push the machine to try to keep the ball going, depending on which kind of machine they used. But beyond that, it was the fact that these pinball machines were in arcades. I mean, in the old penny arcade, it was seen as this threatening environment. You know, sort of older middle-class people saw it as this place filled with working-class immigrants and young people. There were all sorts of rumors about the stuff that went on then, you know, even ideas like girls being kidnapped into white slavery, but not even just the extreme stuff like that, but people, you know, worrying about crime and delinquency. And a lot of those same old concerns came back when the video game arcades started to arrive in the 1970s and 80s.
And so let's talk about those video games now. Worries about people, kids being out unattended playing these video games and what, getting involved in unsavory activities?
Yeah, I found this great article in the New York Times from 1982 where there's a Long Island mother was crusading against video game arcades. And the phrases she used was that they mesmerize our children, addict them, teach gambling, and breed aggressive behavior. So you can hear the traces of the things people said about the old arcades, and you can hear sort of a foretaste of the things that people talk about video games doing now, the idea that they're addictive, the idea that people can be drawn into these worlds and imitate the aggressive behavior that they see there.
There has been some research moving on to those video games and to computer and console games. Some psychological researchers saying, maybe can't draw a straight line from playing, say, Grand Theft Auto and immediately, committing an act of violence, but finding a rise in aggressiveness for younger people playing these games. Is there some real worry there?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different issues there. One is, do games have an impact on people at all? Obviously, like any form of culture, they do. People read books, they watch movies, watch TVs, and, these are created to have, emotional or intellectual impacts as people watch them. And, it's not surprising that in these psychological studies done in a lab environment where they show somebody a violent piece of entertainment and then ask if they're more likely to punch a doll, maybe they are right afterwards. I'm not sure what kind of broader conclusions you can really draw from that. But in terms of actually when people have gone out into the world of gamers and looked at them in their own ethos, their own culture or subculture and see how the behavior carries over, there's really no sign that this is associated with greater social aggressiveness. I mean, violent crime has been declining over the time that video games have really taken off. I don't think that one caused the other, but I think given that, it's kind of hard to make the case that video games have been working against that trend.
Well, let's take a caller now. We've got Kelly on the line in Cumberland. Kelly, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. And I apologize for my voice.
I'm getting there, too. Allergy season.
I have a tween son who loves, he's got an Xbox, and he loves to play games. One of his favorites is Call of Duty. And I have noticed as I have listened to him and watched him play this game, he plays with groups a lot. And I find it interesting how well they work together. They work together as a team to accomplish a goal. And there's no, I don't see any increased violence in him.
Gotcha. Kelly, we don't have much time, and I want to get Jessie in to respond to that. So she sees a mom here says no increased violence and maybe valuable lessons in cooperating now that you can play these games online with lots of others.
Yeah, I mean, that actually gets to another thing about video games. And often they're sort of discussed as though they're isolating, as though somebody is just in the basement playing this by himself, never getting out. I mean, I'm sure there are people who fit that stereotype, but it's important to understand how often they are social activities and cooperation is a part of, just the gameplay.
And you write in your piece about efforts over the years, including in Congress, to restrict some of these games in some ways, especially Senator Joseph Lieberman. How do you see his role in these games? Did it have an impact on the games that were out there?
Yeah, I mean, well, this was at the end of 1993, so just over 20 years ago. Joe Lieberman and Byron Dorgan and Herb Kohl were the three senators who had these hearings on the alleged impact of video games on in terms of encouraging violence and untoward sexual behavior and so on. One effect of this hearing, by the way, is they found this really obscure video game with this sort of violence against women scene in it, and they made it better known so more people went out and got it, which I think was probably the reverse of the impact they wanted to have. But at any rate, Lieberman and Cole were very overt about the fact that, I mean, Cole said this directly, if you don't do something about this, we will. And the reason why the first video games rating systems were adopted by the industry itself was because they were directly threatened by the senators saying that we will create a rating system if you don't. And some people will say, well, that's great. It increases the amount of information that's out there. But I am of the opinion that, rating systems are not a very useful way of getting across the information people want to know about what might be offensive or inappropriate in a game. I think that you know, the sorts of labeling that's useful to me as a parent, you know, I mean, my kids aren't into video games, so I'm like about movies and so on, has to do with what specifically is in is the content that they might not like or that, you know, might scare them or what have you. And just sort of squeezing that into one of these sort of broad, you know, what level of maturity ratings is not very useful. And I think Congress, you know, sort of pushed them in that direction.
We'll leave it there for now. Jesse, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That was Jesse Walker with Reason Magazine. We have his piece on gaming and moral panics linked on the Central Time Facebook page.